So what's she making us?
It's what she's making you. Dirk and I had it a couple of days ago. She earned her Michelin star for her risotto alle rose.
Rice with roses?
Yes, with white wine and Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. And when I told her that our bouquets are violets and your maid of honor dress was the same shade, she suggested we serve a variation of the dish. Risotto alle violette.
Normally, I was against mixing my foods with my flowers, but I was all for the wine and cheese. I leaned back in my chair and scrutinized a quad skull boat coming down the canal to make sure Shona wasn't on it. Veronica glanced at her phone.
Before I forget, Glenda will be here later today. She's arriving from Barcelona. Can you believe it?
I couldn't. There was no logic to explain how my ex-stripper landlady's memoirs, like a polecat at a garden party, together with a social influencer campaign, had led to a European book tour.
And she's bringing a mystery date to the wedding.
Why is he a mystery? She shrugged.
She wants him to be a surprise. And I can't wait to see who it is. Glenda has met so many interesting men on her travels. A Spanish flamenco guitarist, a French winemaker, an Austrian duke.
I sipped some spritz. In the 3 years that Veronica and I lived in the downstairs apartments of Glenda O'Brien's fourplex, I'd seen a string of her dates, and there was no telling what the polecat would drag in.
Oh!
Veronica moved her appetizer plate.
Here comes the chef.
A small, busty woman in a white chef's uniform and hat that obscured her hair crossed the terrace with a tray balanced on one hand. She arrived at our table and placed the dish before me. Rice in a pale, purplish sauce with fresh violets on top. I looked up, expecting her to say something about the food, or at least introduce herself. But she erupted in a coughing fit. Dismayed, I stared at my plate. Not only did it have flowers, it probably had phlegm flex, too. Veronica removed her sunglasses.
Iona, are you all right?
She wasn't. Her scrubbed skin had blanched to match her outfit. But her lips and tongue were purple. She hacked and held out a hand. I stood and picked up my water glass. Here, sip this. Her face contorted. My brow was indignant. I hadn't drunk any, and even if I had, my germs were no worse than her phlegm. Iona's coughing grew more labored, and her lips and tongue were purple. She opened her mouth wide, gasping for air, and the inside of her mouth was strangely brown. Still coughing, she backed into the railing, and she went over. Veronica screamed, and I catapulted over the terrace and almost took out a family of ducks as I plunged into the canal. I surfaced, already shivering, and swam toward the chef. The icy water shocked my system, as did the cold fear undulating along my spine. Too many signs had foretold a watery doom. The flooded crypt, the drowned Death in Venice book, and the floating coffin. But doom for whom? Iona? Or me? Treading water, I flipped the chef onto her back and got my answer. Because Iona Parsons was dead in the water. Literally.